Hello and welcome to another week here at Dan's Dabble in Babble. I have a lot of things that I should be doing right now. The laundry is going though, so I'm going to pretend that that means that I have actually accomplished something on my list today. And, you know, that's not totally fair. I finished up some Christmas shopping today at an actual physical store, which is just... So, from a practical standpoint, since I will be flying to Indiana, I just have, like, all of my gifts sent to my parents' house and wrap them when I get there. But this is a gift for somebody that is not going to be in Indiana. That I'm going to give in Florida. And I went to an actual physical store, which is just so 2007 to actually physically shop. But, you know, I really do enjoy shopping for gifts for people. I really enjoy gift giving. And I think it's something that I put a lot of pressure on myself. I stress out about a lot. And, you know, I used to, with my nieces and things, just put an overwhelming amount of pressure on what I was going to get them. And then, you know, I kind of realized that children are very easy to please. And so I stopped putting pressure to be unique in that way. But, you know, there are certain people that you really want to just knock it out of the park for. Like, I feel that way with my parents, really want to get them something that they're going to enjoy. And of course, I feel that way about shopping for my boyfriend. And, you know, I feel like I've done well. We'll see how that happens. But no, I really enjoy the act of thinking about what to get someone. And, you know, I like to get things that are really going to get use. It is always, you know, you kind of have that moment of, getting knickknacks or whatever that, in general, I mean, if you're giving me a gift, I appreciate it, but it's one thing to really give a gift that, you know, is going to be appreciated and used, and is nice. And, you know, I don't know. I like things to be personal. I don't know that I'm giving very many personal gifts this year, but that's all in the art of giving a gift right is you know, the balance of giving someone something that they want, which, you know, my mom specifically has gotten better about not giving. Well, she'll do one of two ways. She'll ask for specific things, and I think certain people that buy for her really like the specificity, but to me that takes all of the joy out of it. So she's been better in recent years of being kind of giving more general broad scope ideas about what she would like. So that's made that experience more fun for me, because I really just like the one thing about gift giving, I think, is that it should not feel transactional. Like at some point when you're an adult buying a gift for other adults, if it's like, okay, I made this list, you made this list, we got each other something off of this list, it really is the thought that counts. And so I like gifts to be special. I like special is the wrong word. I like gifts to reflect thought and reflect care and some introspection into who a person is. But I also think, especially around birthdays and Christmas, there's just so much of there's the whole experience aspect too, where I really value, you know, I like giving a gift, but I really like the idea of an experience and the experience around the thing, whether it's preparing a nice dinner or I love to bake. So, you know, making some special baked good and just really having that occasion to bring everybody together. And having that special moment. I do love to bake, and I think I talked about on this podcast my love of the Holiday Baking Championship, which I was very sad to see the contestant go home last week. And of course I am blanking on her name, which, you know, tells you Marilyn. Marilyn is the one that got sent home, and man, I miss Marilyn. So great for the show. Marilyn, you will be missed from Holiday Baking Championship. But I hadn't baked in a while because, you know, living alone, it's a challenge sometimes to bake things, and especially to bake things like cakes, or anything that's not individual, because, you know, I don't want to bake a cake and just have that at my house, and then I end up eating a whole cake in a couple of days before the cake goes bad. But last night, I broke out some of my skills and made these cinnamon knots with a maple coffee glaze. And one thing that I really, really love is I love to do things that involve pastry work. And this, I would say, was pastry adjacent. You know, it was a yeast dough, but you still kind of worked the dough like you would a pastry. But the dough, I think, was certainly a bit easier to work with than it is to work with pastry dough. But that was just really nice, and it's you know, there's something about making baked goods, especially around the holidays, that really just gets you in the mood. I mean, it was a nice experience. I had the lighting in the kitchen was just right, listening to a great podcast, drinking a glass of wine while I was preparing these baked goods, and it was just really a nice little moment to make these cinnamon toasts. And I love making sauces and glazes. I used to be so intimidated by that, and now that I have, you know, taken the time to make my own frostings and glazes and icing, it's really, I found, not that big of a deal to work. And this is another one of those things that I often will just kind of have memories of my aunt was a home ec teacher, and you know, she would talk about the difficulty of something, or you know, the talk about how involved certain baked goods were. And I just remember taking that really to heart and being intimidated by it. And I had the same experience. It took me forever to dabble with brewing my own beer. And last year, I did finally pull the trigger and bought some equipment, some homebrew equipment, which was, you know, fun to do. But I have a master's degree in chemistry. And so the science of brewing beer is way less intense than the techniques that I know how to do as a synthetic chemist. So I just kind of felt ridiculous for putting it off so long, because, you know, the one thing that people will tell you about the homebrew experience is the most important thing is to make sure that everything is sanitized, which is absolutely true. That is incredibly important. But not only am I a synthetic chemist, I am a medicinal synthetic chemist. So my work in graduate school, I would make small molecules, and then I would test them as inhibitors of pyruvate carboxylase, which is an enzyme. So I obviously had to be very sterile in all of my experiments to run the assays so that the enzyme would remain active and it would be a valid experiment. And I was able to have the quality of data to be a published author in the Journal of Bioorganic and Medicinal Chemistry with techniques that involve sanitation, but I was so scared to brew my own beer because of the sanitation process. And again, this was just kind of hearsay of like, oh, it's really difficult. you know, and that's going to be the most important part for you for making good beer is to make sure that you get the sanitation aspect down. So I got the sanitation aspect down. I've only brewed one batch of beer because it is very labor intensive, very time intensive, and makes a lot of beer. It was ready on Easter, my first batch last year, and I still have a few bottles of that left. So I've got another kit ready to go. To brew. The first was coffee stout, and the next is going to be a wheat beer. But it was fun. But going back to the baking techniques is, you know, baking is really, really chemistry. It's people will say the same thing about cooking. There are aspects, and I do think that being a chemist has made me a better cook because I kind of have a more innate thing. I have a more intuitive sense of how flavors are going to work together based on acid-base chemistry, whereas I'm typically not relying on taste as I'm going, but I just kind of have, it's made me think about flavors in a way that is just much more intuitive for me. But you know, making sure that meat is fully cooked or whatever, that's really not chemistry. That's a very different skill set, I would argue. Baking, however, though, baking is measurement. Baking is chemistry. The combination, the order of addition, all of that really matters in baking in a way that's much more rigid, I would say, than cooking. But again, as a chemist, I can kind of adjust recipes as I go. If I see the dough isn't having the consistency that I want, those kinds of things I have. And I also just have a lot of, you know, if something's not incorporating, like last night I had trouble getting the butter to incorporate with the dough. But again, as a synthetic chemist, I have all kinds of tricks of the trade to get something to incorporate into a homogeneous mixture sort of thing. So, you know, transferable skills, they're great. But I was always really intimidated by these icings and these frostings. And then it's so much simpler than I ever imagined that it would be. And I think it really makes an impact. And you know, it was interesting. It was an icing that used maple syrup, butter, and coffee, and the glaze came together perfectly, and that was a lot of fun. The only time that I've made a frosting that I was like, you know, this is just really thick and disgusting and I'm not going to use, was a homemade buttercream. And it was a recipe out of the Science of Good Cooking book, which basically reads like a textbook. And it really will break down the chemistry and some scientific principles of, you know, the right temperature to slow roast something, or what's happening in caramelization. It really explains the principles. It's an interesting book to read from and to learn from to get better at cooking. I really don't use it as often as I should, to be totally honest. So anyway, that buttercream was interesting because I'm a pretty decent baker. I think I have skills. I was following this recipe, and it was an interesting, like, double broiler type setup, and I combined everything, and I think that I did it right. And as I was making it, it was a fun thing to make, but it was just really thick and just tasted like butter. I mean, it was not something that I wanted to put on my cake. I ended up not using it, which was really unfortunate. But then I looked up other recipes for homemade buttercream, and none of them had any of the techniques that I was using. So I think it was just a really bad recipe for some really not great buttercream frosting. But anyway, that was my weekend experience with baking this weekend. Also, I have been hinting heavily that I really wanted to go ice skating, and my boyfriend took me ice skating yesterday, which it was phenomenal. It was the first time that I've ever ice skated outdoors, and for the first time ice skating outdoors to be in Florida, in Tampa, Florida. I just find that a bit ironic, but it was a lot of fun, and I am confident now in my abilities to ice skate and not fall. The rink was crowded, and there were children that were falling all over the place. That was the scariest part, quite frankly. But I have to say, and I have to give my boyfriend credit, he is athletic and is good at things, and he was not sure how it was going to go, but he was phenomenal. He asked me if I knew how to skate backwards, and I said I've never been that bold because I really enjoy not falling. And I talked last week about how I would go to the speed skate track and do that as a workout. And then he just was a natural at skating backwards, and the skating rink attendant tried to give me tips, and I could, you know, I could get the push off fine, but I just couldn't keep the momentum going backwards. So, you know, it wasn't in the cards for me, but I gave it the old college try, and you know, it is what it is. But credit where credit is due. Good job at this just being another athletic event that Michael's better than me at. Congratulations, Michael. But no, it was great, and I was super excited to check that off, and just, you know, really embrace the holiday Christmas fun. You know, it's such a, especially as an adult, the season is busy and it goes by quickly, and I just really am, you know, glad to be able to soak it up and enjoy the experience. Enjoy the experiences here and there as I'm able. And you know, we will we'll just enjoy between now and Christmas. And honestly, between now and the end of the year, I've got some really excited things planned that I'm really looking forward to. I'm going to Cancun at the end of the year. We'll be there for New Year's, which I think is going to be incredible. It's, you know, as soon as we booked the trip, I have just been in countdown mode for that. So certainly not trying to rush through the Christmas season, because there's a couple things in between now and leaving for Cancun that are going to be extraordinary as well. That's the big thing at the, so I mean, what a way to end the year and kick off the new year at a resort in Cancun. I'm stoked about that, and we'll obviously keep you posted on the exciting exciting details of my travels. And we'll be in Indiana, so I fly to Indiana on the 21st, which is a Tuesday. My cousin will be picking me up from the airport, and we will be having our annual Cousin Fest in Indianapolis again. That is kind of our de facto Cousin Fest. We've done Cousin Fests in Cincinnati. The first Cousin Fest was in Cincinnati. My cousin, who is a couple years older than me, and my cousin, who's a year younger than me, the three of us are the ones that do Cousin Fest. And, you know, the rules of Cousin Fest is that you can have no more than one representative from each family present. Otherwise, it changes to a cousin retreat. And you have to have at least three people there for it to be Cousin Fest. So, we've had Cousin Fests in Cincinnati, which no one lived there at the time. We went and saw the stage play Peter Pan, which was, you know, a lot of fun. And I was in college. It was my sophomore year of college, my younger cousin's freshman year of college, and I think my oldest cousin's or older cousin's first year in PA school. And we all just kind of randomly had the same spring break and were able to do a fun cousin thing. So that was in Cincinnati. And then my cousin lives in Indianapolis, so that's typically why they're in Indianapolis. It's just been convenient. We're all educators now, so we have time off at the holidays. So planning it is honestly getting easier. Before my cousin, who is a PA, went to PA education, it was, you know, I had time off. This was my one time of the year in grad school that I had time off, and would be in Indiana anyway, would go to Indianapolis. And that is a lot of great fun. So Cincinnati, Indianapolis, we had Cousin Fest in Milwaukee. We will be having a cousin retreat in February, I believe, down here in St. Petersburg. So all good fun, but that's so I'll be spending my first day in Indiana with the cousins. Don't really know what our plan for that is yet. Last year we saw a, there is a hardware store close to where my cousin lives that has this very elaborate Christmas train, Christmas village, and it was really cool, but it lets you off, quote unquote, at the North Pole, and we saw Santa do stand-up comedy, but it was kind of bizarrely conservative stand-up comedy, which was just an interesting vibe, you know, there was a lot of crowd work, and it just didn't really know how to do crowd work, though. I mean, you know, you gotta give the credit where the credit is due, I guess. But I mean, we are talking about someone who does stand-up comedy dressed up as Santa Claus, so you know, expectations were met, I would say. So I don't know what we'll be doing this year, and I'll be staying in Indy for a couple of days to see my best friend, then heading back to my hometown for Christmas, and then back here the day after Christmas. And, you know, looking forward to some family time. Looking forward to the whole thing, but then really looking forward to my trip to Mexico. So that is about all I've got this week, I think. What I'll wrap with is I finally sat down last night and got into season 4 of Selling Sunset, and I love that show so much. But I bring it up to point out that this Wednesday there is a new series that will be debuting on Netflix, Selling Tampa. And I think that's going to be really cool. So a couple of years ago when Selling Sunset first came out, I was like, okay, looks like Netflix is getting into the HGTV game. I welcome this. I was a little bit bummed that it was set in California, because California real estate is just not my vibe. One, the practicality of buying a $3.5, $5, $6, $15 million home is something that I do not think is going to be in the cards for me. That's step one. Step two is that it's just the style is it's all very modern. I mean, they're gorgeous. I can appreciate it for what it is. It's just not a home that I would want to live in. So it's not even, I'm not even looking at these homes with envy, because it's not the style of home that I would buy for millions of dollars. Now, the million-dollar homes in the Tampa Bay area I think, are much more my vibe. So I'm excited to see it for that reason. But for those of you who have not watched Selling Sunset, it's basically a Bravo show where sometimes they sell a house. And it's just, there are these women in the Oppenheim group. So the Oppenheim brothers are these two very short twin brothers that run this real estate brokerage. And it's just the show is the drama between the real estate agents, and every once in a while they remember to do their job and show a house and sell a house. So it's very much not a real estate show. And so I'm excited to see a similar vibe set in my backyard. I really hope that Selling Tampa is successful, because I think the Tampa Bay region is really cool. And, you know, as a homeowner, let's drive up those real estate prices. Make this investment work for me. That's what I say. So I recommend that you guys all check out Selling Tampa. I know that I will be probably not on Wednesday, because Wednesday is Survivor Day, and you know, you gotta have priorities. So I will be cooking something for dinner, and watching Survivor, and maybe if I'm lucky, I'll get Selling Tampa, and that's a big hint to somebody who likes to listen to this show. And that's that special shout out. And no, I'm not expecting that we'll actually watch Selling Tampa on Wednesday, and that is fine. But what I will suggest is that you follow me on Twitter at DeepestDanacy. Whoa, that is a blast from the past. That is the wrong Twitter handle. Follow me on Twitter at BabblingDan. Follow me on Instagram at Daniel Burkett. And we will just continue this exciting journey with my dabble and babble. And please rate me 5 stars, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. That would really help me out. And recommend this to your friends. Share it out, push it out. All good stuff. So thank you for listening for another week. And I will talk at you real soon.